taking away from workers an important bargaining chip, namely the ability to offer to work a wage less than the minimum, is the cruelest thing you can do for a lot of these workers.
In a short period, the $15 minimum wage went from laughable to viable, as a New York Times headline put it. And now it's the law of the land for millions of New Yorkers and Californians. Earlier this month, the Empire and Golden States almost simultaneously passed laws that will boost the state-mandated wage floor to $15 over the next few years. It's a high-stakes bet that the law of supply and demand does not apply to human labor. I'm joined by George Mason University economist Don Boudreau, who also blogs at Cafe Hyatt. Don, thanks for joining us.
Happy to be here, Nick.
Okay, so economic theory teaches us that if you raise the price of something, everything else being equal, you get less of it. So the $15 minimum wage will destroy jobs for the least skilled members of the workforce.
I have no doubt. Yep.
But then supporters of the minimum wage say, hey, you know what, markets aren't perfect, and that labor, particularly in service industries like fast food, car washes, hotel cleaning, it's an imperfect market, so there's some slippage there. Many workers in California and New York earning $12 or $13 or even $14 an hour. Is it possible for them this will just bump them up?
No. Some of them are going to lose their jobs. Others of them, the nature of the job might change. The employer might become more strict and demand, you know, more effort per hour. So there are lots of ways the employers can adjust. But employers are not going to stand back and just absorb that higher wage. It's just not going to happen. Look, as imperfect as it is, the unskilled labor market is highly competitive. A lot of things unskilled workers can do. There are a lot of employers competing for those skills. Workers can move. They can move physically. They can move across the street. And because it's so competitive, and because the industries in which these workers work are competitive, fast food, motels, there are not a lot of margins.
Okay, so they can't just say, you know, if it ends up costing McDonald's an extra 30% in cost to produce something, they can't just raise the price 30%.
The prices will go up somewhat. But look, when the prices of McDonald's hamburgers go up, people buy fewer McDonald's hamburgers, which means McDonald's needs fewer workers. No matter how you cut it, some workers are going to lose their jobs.
Talk a little bit. You hear a lot in this context about automation, and particularly about places like fast food restaurants. How does automation intersect with increased labor costs?
One thing that capital can do is substitute for workers. And so when the relative price of labor rises, employers seeking to keep their profits as high as possible, search for ways to replace those higher cost workers. One way is to put in machines. With the advance of technology, that's becoming easier and easier. We've all seen automatic checkout lanes at supermarkets. That's an example of the kind of technology that can substitute for low-skilled workers.
So does that mean that a couple of years ago when Obama blamed declines in employment on ATM machines, he wasn't necessarily wrong?
He was wrong in the sense that when technology advances and some workers lose their jobs, they are not necessarily excluded from the workforce forever if they can find other employers who are willing to employ them at a wage at which they are profitable to employ. Right? The problem with the minimum wage is it prevents employers from hiring any workers underneath that stipulated minimum. And so it's the wage that prices them out of the job, not the technology.
In 1994, economists Alan Krueger and David Card published a very influential paper on the effect of the minimum wage in the fast food industry on the border of New Jersey and Pennsylvania. And they said that it showed little negative impact on jobs. What does the empirical evidence show? Because we've seen this, and people like Paul Krugman and others have said, you know what, I used to be a minimum wage fundamentalist. Now a lot of people are saying, no, that's totally wrong.
Well, not a lot. There are some economists, Card and Krueger still being the most famous, Aaron Dracha, Dubé, another. There are a handful of studies that find no negative effect on jobs because of higher minimum wages. There are many, many other studies. David Newmark and William Washer are only the two most prominent researchers who find these studies. There are many, many other studies. A majority of the studies that find when you raise the minimum wage, you get fewer jobs for low-skill workers, particularly as you expand the time span of the study, because it does take some time for employers to adjust.
And it's also worth pointing out that the Krueger and Card study, they were not talking about doubling the minimum wage in a few years. They were talking about a relatively small.
It was a relatively small. The $15 minimum wage in some cases is more than doubling it.
Does it matter that it'll be phased in over 3, 4, 5, 6 years?
Well, that's an interesting question. Because it's a bad policy, it's better that a bad policy be phased in than put in all at one time. If the cynic, and I'm a political cynic, I believe one of the effects of this phasing in is that it will make it more difficult for empirical researchers to actually detect the negative employment effects, because there are a lot of stuff going on in the economy at any point in time. And some researcher can say, oh, well, yes, there are fewer jobs, but that's because of this other thing, not because of the minimum wage.
So, I mean, this is kind of an interesting conundrum for economics, right? Because the empirical evidence is actually very difficult to gather. I mean, do you, but then if you only go with theory, you may be totally disconnected from reality. So how do you square that circle as somebody who is a free marketer and participates in certain kinds of Austrian economics, which eschews empirical data in many ways?
No, we don't eschew it. We recognize it has its value, but we also understand that theory has value, and you don't just cast out theory because you have a few studies that happen to show some effects. The vast majority of studies on the minimum wage, I'm estimating 70%, show a negative effect, a significant negative effect of higher minimum wages on the employment of low-skilled workers, usually proxied by teenagers. So because if you have a startling claim such as that the law of demand does not apply to low-skilled workers, it's a really startling claim. Why wouldn't it apply to that particular commodity rather than some other? Then you really need startling evidence to persuade me, and I think other sensible economists, to reject the claim that the law of demand applies to those workers. The evidence is nowhere close to being dominant enough.
Talk a little bit about who earns the minimum wage and under what circumstances, because it's something like 3% of the overall labor market earns the minimum wage. Who are those people and where do they show up?
3.9% of all American workers earn the minimum wage or less. About half of them are younger than the age of 25. A full fifth of them are still in their teens. The majority, the single largest group of minimum wage workers, have not even completed high school. So these are unskilled workers. Most of them, when they get jobs, because of the experience that they get on the job, they move to higher paying jobs later. One of the pernicious effects of the minimum wage, as you know, is not only that it eliminates the current income for the workers who lose their jobs, it eliminates something more important. It eliminates their ability to get job experience and on-the-job skills.
Talk about that, because, I mean, if, you know, this is one of the most potent arguments, and it's both an economic argument but also a moral argument.
Yeah.
If you do not allow people with low or no skills to get that first job, they can't build up higher skills. How do individual workers raise their wages over time?
They become more skilled. And there are a variety of different ways to do that. Obviously, formal education is one. You get an accounting degree. That increases your skills. For a lot of workers, it's actually working on the job, learning how to weld, learning how to mow a lawn.
Learning how to show up on time.
And learning how to cooperate with other workers. These are not things that are natural to everyone. And we forget, those of us who have had jobs, we forget that when we were younger, these are things we had to learn. We don't come up out of the womb with these talents. And being on the job consistently is one way to get those skills. I talk to people who run businesses, and hiring and finding good employees, reliable employees, is very valuable. Businesses don't regard good workers as expendable, contrary to what people like Bernie Sanders and a lot of the progressive left think.
For people who are, and it's a small percentage of minimum wage workers who are actually heading households.
As you were
talking about, I mean, a lot of them actually make, they're not even out of high school yet, et cetera. Or we've seen from distribution curves that there are as many minimum wage income earners in high income households as in poverty level households.
Yeah.
So what do we do, though, for those people who are trying to get by on the minimum wage and they have a family, they have households? What are alternative ways to help them get by without costing them out of the economy?
Well, the first thing I would say before answering your question is, even if there was nothing to do, the minimum wage is still a bad idea because it's only going to make the problem worse, even if there are no other solutions. But there are some things we can do. Improve schools, increase school choice. That will make people more educated, make people more skilled. Get rid of occupational licensing regulations. That'll open up job opportunities for lots of people. So there are lots of steps that government can take. In my view, they pretty much all involve getting the government out, removing the government from the economy to open up the forces of competition and entrepreneurship and innovation. That will open up opportunity. It's taking away from workers an important bargaining chip, namely the ability to offer to work a wage less than the minimum, is the cruelest thing you can do for a lot of these workers.
Well, we will leave it there. We have been talking to Don Boudreau, an economist at George Mason University, about the $15 minimum wage that has been passed in California and New York. Don, thanks for talking to us.
Thank you.
For Reason TV, I'm Nick Gillespie.